This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. By Kurtz 24-Hour Heavy and Light Duty Towing in Litchfield. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Hillsboro, Raymond, and Farmersville. CTI Tech, bringing 1-gig internet to Hillsboro and beyond. By Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare. By Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And by the Litchfield National Bank.
They're coming after him. He's not going to have much time. Down the sideline, got a receiver deep. He's beyond everybody. It is a catch. It is a touchdown. The Nokomis Redskins, Landon Eagleman, somehow or another, he got behind the secondary. That is a 50-yard touchdown pass from Tosetti to Eagleman, and now the all-important point after to tie this one up. Jeremy Brown to kick the point after to give the tie. Out of the hold of Alex Tosetti. It's going to be a fake. They're going to go for two. They've got a receiver in the end zone. And it's good. It's good.
Wow.
The two-point conversion. You talk about a gunslinger. And the man of the hour is Adam Lyons. I don't believe what I just saw.
How about that? Nokomis gets themselves into the postseason for the first time since 2014 with one of the best finishes you will ever see. And welcome to Sports Saturday with David Jenkins. Tim Mize here on WSMI FM 106. And gutsy, gutsy, gutsy. You know, the old adage is you go for the win on the road, you play for overtime at home. And Paul Watson said, boys, we're not messing with overtime. We're going to do it on the fake extra point, two-point conversion. Good. And Nokomis beats Wood River 15-14. And that is as good as you're going to see at the high school level. Congratulations to Nokomis. We'll catch up with Paul Watson here later on in the hour. I'm sure it's a happy, happy day in Nokomis. As remember, they went 5-4 last year, missed out because they didn't have enough playoff points. They've been talking all year, we got to get to six, got to get to six. And they got to six in dramatic fashion last night. In the South Central Conference last night, Carlinville got themselves playoff eligible. They beat Southwestern 41-12. So after a 1-3 start, Carlinville now sits at 5-3. And of course, in the close conference, five wins is going to get you in. Never seen a 5-4 team in a close conference not get in. Of course, they still have a game in hand traveling to Litchfield next week. And Chad Easterday joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing good. And when you sat at 1-3, you knew exactly what was in front of you, what you had to do. And as we sit here now with 1 week left, you guys are playoff eligible.
Yeah, that's a great thing, is it not? I tell you what. So it was rough out of the gate there. We had a great schedule, tested us early, and we're putting ourselves. I mean, obviously, with a close conference, we're pretty 99.9% sure we can get in at 5-4 in case something crazy would go on with the playoff point system or that, but we have a big game next week to get to 6-3 to get possibly a better seat and see what happens.
Chad, we talked early in the year a lot about that 3-week run of Vandalia, Greenville, and Pena, but I tell you what, your road win in Roxana in the opening week keeps looking better and better.
Yeah, I tell you what, a lot of people kind of didn't blow the game off because one, I think people didn't anticipate how good Roxana was. That's just a personal opinion.
Yeah.
We were figuring things out. It was a great ball game, and everyone looks back and thinks how important week one is, and it is highly, highly important that you get that win. And you and I talked about this. That's the great thing about football, not downing any other sport. Every week means something. You can't just take a week off and get into postseason.
And especially in your conference, Chad, I mean, like you said, there's no weeks off. And, you go to Litchfield next week and people think, oh, well, Litchfield, they've lost 36 straight games, whatever the case may be. But if your players go in there with that mentality, something bad could happen.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm only about an hour and a half into the film. They do a lot of things well. Their coaching staff is is not just have not thrown their hands up in the air. They're putting forth tremendous effort. They do a lot of good things, and you have to be prepared, or else something like that will happen to you. And hopefully, that won't be us.
Ted, as you look at the game last night, was the philosophy of the game plan the same as we've seen the last few weeks, with very heavy on the run game?
Yeah, we thought we could wear on them a little bit. I tell you what, they're to me are better than what their record indicates as well. They're a very well coached football team. They're very physical, that type of thing. They made some mental errors that we were able to take advantage of there for a change. Instead of we kind of turned the tables on that, we were doing those things early in the season. But we relied on the run again last night. We were able to hit a couple of key passes and some key opportunities, which is what we are going to do and be able to do. So we were very proud of our accomplishments, I guess, last night, and having some things to fix.
And just kind of thinking broad picture here with you guys being playoff eligible, and you alluded to the fact, 5 wins in a close conference, you're going to get in unless something happens that I don't ever remember happening before. So with that in mind, you mentioned a couple of big pass plays last night. When you get into week 10, there's going to be situations where Michael Bias is going to have to make a throw for you.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly correct. And he did that last night. We had, I think it was a 46-yard pass completion in a very critical situation. Second three, and he is capable of those things, and we just haven't had to do that. And we had to do that last night, and I was very proud of it. We ran the right route, got open, those types of things. So, it is what it is, and we're able to win another football game, and that seems to be the trend that we're on right now.
Yeah, you guys are rolling right here at the end of the year. And how are you looking health-wise?
Really good. We did have Dylan Cunningham went down. We had a defensive lineman went down last night with a knee injury, so we don't have an update on that. But other than that, we are as healthy as we've been in a long time at this time of year. So that is huge going into the playoffs. Every coach will tell you that. If you have to be healthy at the right time, and a little bit of luck never hurts anything.
Yeah, lucky and good. The combination of the two can allow for some magical things to happen. And the most important health group a lot of times is the offensive line, because it's 5 acting as one. And that seems to be a group for you, Chad, that as the year has gone along here, they have really gelled into a real cohesive unit.
Yep, they've done a really good job. You got to give some credit to Coach Borgini. You don't want to do that too often, but it is true. They've gelled together. They've kind of accepted this tough mentality of being able to run the football and that sort of thing. So that's a kind of their motto in there. And the great thing about Jim, and this about our program, is we always try. I try very hard to make sure we have at least a backup, and we do give those kids ample time. In practice, I think it's highly critical for your program to be successful, because you have zero idea when something strange could happen. And you and I have been around a long time. I've seen kids tear ACLs that never get tackled. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how those injuries can just change a ballgame. Yeah, if you don't have your backup quarterback ready, or your backup high tackler, or a backup on punt or punt return, those things are key in games when you start thinking 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 weeks into the end of the season.
Yeah, little things become big things in a hurry a lot of times.
Yeah, you are correct. So you're never going to plan for all of them, but, I'm OCD when it comes to that stuff. The kids make fun of me, the coaching staff. Like on Mondays and Thursdays, we just have this 10-minute segment where everybody walks to their on and off the field. I mean, we pretend like it's fifth-grade JFL football, and it's amazing because they can make fun all they want, but we know who our backup is. We know who that sub is. We know what that personnel grouping is. So it's a good joke, but it's really a good fundamental thing we do.
Well, I mean, the fundamentals, no matter the sport, no matter the level, you see professional baseball teams, the teams that focus on the fundamentals early in the year, by the time they get to the big games late in the season, guess what? Those fundamentals are baked in.
Yeah. It's kind of weird how people sometimes overlook those things, mm-hmm. because you're so worried about getting – conditioning in or an extra rep on a play or whatever else, but sometimes they fail to realize being prepared is also a rep that needs to be done as well.
Chad, final question for you. I know when you guys were 1-3, there was no panic with you. There was no panic within the locker room, but to be sitting here now riding that 4-game win streak heading in to week 9, it has to be a real good feeling to know that, hey, your kids had their backs against the wall and they've came out and they've executed for 4 straight weeks.
I couldn't have said it better. I'm just very proud of them, all of them, for their effort, their commitment level, and those types of things. And, you know, you could say what you want about a 1-3 start, but they're bound and determined that they're going to win at least one, if not two, playoff games. So, you know, I really enjoy that drive and intensity level that, you know, just because something bad happened, it's not, doesn't mean it's going to be a bad finish. So, you know, we'll keep plugging along.
Perfect. Chad, thanks for a few minutes this morning. Hey, we'll talk to you twice next week. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds great. Thanks, guys.
All right, Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, sitting at 5-3. They will travel to Litchfield next week in mentality. It matters. Chad has told us for years about they don't rebuild, they reload. And this year really put that to the test. But you're seeing it right now. As this group of kids got settled into varsity football, look what's happened. Four straight wins, and you just heard him say it. They have a goal to win not one, but two playoff games. We'll see. And obviously, Carlinville takes it 1 week at a time. All their focus is squarely on Litchfield in week nine. But this is a team that's won a playoff game seven straight years. You know, it's easy to think, oh, the team the last 3 years, that was a special place in time. That was one of the greatest groups we'll ever see in the South Central Conference. But don't remember, the 4 years prior to that, they were winning playoff games. So this is a group of kids that has grown up knowing nothing other than Carlinville wins playoff games. So they're going to have that mentality, and they will be a dangerous team when they get in to week 10. It'll be very, that's why the game next week, very important, because the difference between 5-4 and 6-3 is like a Grand Canyon type of gap. You don't want to be, I mean, 5-4 is great because you're in the playoffs, David, but you don't want to be 5-4. You would much rather be 6-3.
You are not getting a home playoff game at 5-4 in the first round.
No, and I mean, you're probably not at 6-3 either, but it has
happened.
It has happened. But yeah, at 5-4, you're on the road and you're facing 9-0.
There haven't been a lot of 5-4 teams in the classes that we've covered the last couple of years either.
But you see, there was Staun was 5-4 when they went all the way to the state championship.
It's true.
Game. You see it every once in a while.
Yeah, I'm not dismissing a 5-4 team's ability. I'm saying we haven't seen a lot of 5-4 teams at all in like Class 3A. Like you had a lot of like 6-. We've seen 8-1 teams on the road the past couple of years.
No, that's exactly right. So Carlinville got playoff eligible at 5-3. Gillespie had their playoff hopes come to an end last night as they lost to Greenville 52-12. So for Gillespie, postseason hopes dashed here in week number 8. As we look at the South Central Conference, the game of the night last night was Vandalia over Payne, a 28-18. Both teams entered 7-0, so the Vandals in the driver's seat. They will be taking on Greenville at Greenville next week. That'll be a tough matchup for the Vandals. That's a rivalry game in every sense of the word there. And, boy, Greenville would love nothing more than to end the Vandals' perfect season, get a share of the South Central Conference. That is all on the table for Greenville next week. Hopefully we'll catch up with Todd Hutchinson here later on in the hour as well. Your other South Central scores last night, Hillsborough picked up their first win. They beat Litchfield 60-16. And then Roxana, winners over Staunton 43-0. So the Shells will travel to Southwestern next week at 4-4 with a win, putting them into postseason contention. We need a break. Sports Saturday rolls on following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. We're going to catch up with a few more of our area coaches here, obviously, this morning on Sports Saturday. Got Fighting Illini football coming up. Wisconsin travels to Illinois. 10 o'clock start this morning with the pregame on WAOX 105.3. The Ox. The state golf tournament is going on this weekend, round two today. And after the opening round, individually, Hillsborough's Alex Eichhoff in a tie for sixth. Alex White for the toppers in a tie for 16th. Eichhoff shot a 1-73 yesterday. He has five golfers in front of him. He's just three strokes off the lead. Marcus Smith of Winnebago and Matthew Barker of Downs Tri-Valley both shot 2-70 yesterday. Then Oakley G of Carmine White County, Andrew Sharber of Fulton, and Ian Roach of Putnam County, even par 72s yesterday. And then Eichhoff is right there in a tie for sixth. And, of course, it was a shocking development that the topper team didn't advance to the state tournament. When we talked to Jeff Eichhoff a couple weeks ago, he said, toughest sectional in the state, and he predicted then the state champion is coming out of that Franklin County sectional, and that might just prove to be exactly what happens, because the three teams that beat Hillsborough in that sectional are the top three teams at the state tournament after day one. Carmel White County, a one-stroke lead over Mater Dei, a two-stroke lead over Belleville Altoff, and it was just a tough pill for the toppers to swallow, coming up one stroke shy of advancing. And, of course, Mater Dei and Altoff had been 2A schools, but they dropped down to 1A this year. It's the flaw that the IHSA has with their system, where private schools, if they don't have postseason success, their multiplier gets dropped and they go down a class. It's not right. It's just not. That is the system. That's for every sport across the board. The private schools have the ability to lose their multiplier and go down a class if they don't have success. But you don't see that for public schools. They don't have the opportunity to drop down a class if they don't have success, because if that got proposed, people would say, well, that's just stupid. And it would be stupid. And this is stupid. But that's the system as it is currently constructed for the IHSA. So the topper golf team comes up one stroke shy of the state tournament. And last night, Gillespie, they needed a win over Greenville to keep their playoff hopes alive. And unfortunately for the Miners, the Comets beat them last night 52-12. And joining us on the phone right now is Gillespie head coach Jacob Bilbrook. And coach, thanks for a few moments of your time. And I would imagine that going into that locker room last night after that game, that's one of the hardest things about coaching, is having to go and talk to your young men after that game last night.
Yeah, these situations never get any easier, that's for sure. You know, looking the seniors in the face, telling them, you know, they're not going to be playing Week 10, which, you know, is definitely one of our team goals, but there's still a lot to play for. Senior night and, you know, I was a lot better than 3-6 at the end of the year.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And for the group of seniors, though, as you said, not the way that they wanted their careers to come to an end. But this is a group of kids, Coach, that gave you so much, gave everything they had into the minor football program.
Yeah, and, no, like I said, you have to look them in the face and tell them, you know, we're not going to playoffs. We didn't accomplish, you know, what you know, still a lot to play for. I think next week, you know, the kids, I think it kind of helps with playing Staunton a little bit. The kids seem to be motivated for that one. So, all right, we're gonna get back after it Monday. We're gonna have a good week of practice. You know, make sure the kids are having fun with it, and you know, we'll give it our best Friday night.
And they know that this is it for the group of seniors. So, not that you were ever concerned about the effort of your kids, but I would suspect they're gonna be flying around the field Friday night.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, we've got a pretty tight knit group. You know, there's a few seniors, few juniors, you know, but they're all good friends. And, you know, I don't think that playing for each other is going to be much of an issue next week. I hope that, that next week we come out and, you know, the kids really take some time to appreciate, you know, what the seniors have done for not just this year, but the previous three. And, you know, like I said, unfortunately, we've been in this situation the last 2 years with me, you know, as head coach. So, you know, I don't know. They never get any easier, but, you know, I hope the kids take some time to really reflect on, you know, not just this season, but previous. Yeah, because it goes by in a hurry.
It's fastest 9 weeks in sports, and it's really the fastest 4 years when you boil it down from a year-by-year basis, from freshman year to senior year. But Jake, as you look back here at these last 3 weeks, last night got away from you guys a little bit, but you had a chance against Carlinville, and then you went down and you were right there with Roxana. So as you sit here this morning, I'm sure there's certain, you know, probably just a few certain moments in both those games where you think, man, play here, play there, and it could be different.
Oh yeah, I mean we're, you know, I'm not, you know, I, this football season goes by in such a hurry, like you talked about. You know, I never have time to sleep anyway, but I'm sure I'm going to be losing some sleep over the next couple, you know, next couple months about things that, you know, well, what could we have done? What could we have done differently here? What could we have done differently there? You know, it feels like deja vu all over again. I feel like I was saying the same thing last year at this time. But, you know, it is what it is. You can't change it now. You know, we're going to have to just keep looking forward, staying positive, and just trying to get better.
Jake, we always appreciate your time on Saturday mornings, sir, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks for the coverage.
Jacob Bilbrook, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners. And, yeah, that's rough. You heard Coach Bilbrook allude to it. Two straight years where they were sitting at 3-2 and then can't get over the hump and get to that fifth win to get into the postseason. So a good season for the Miners, but not the type of season they were hoping to have here in 2019. In the Sangamo Conference last night, North Mac went to Athens, battled tough, but got shut out by Athens 20-0. So North Mac will head in to week 9 at 4-4. They will be on their fancy new turf field hosting winless Riverton next week. And again, closed conference. So if North Mac gets the win next week, they will be playoff bound here in 2019. Auburn, they picked up their sixth win of the year last night. They beat Porta 41-8. Williamsville still unbeaten on the year. They will host Porta next week. If the Bullets win, obviously undefeated, and they will be outright conference champions. Moreau Forsyth, they hammered Riverton 76-0 in good matchup next week as Moreau Forsyth will host Auburn, and Moreau Forsyth will be hoping, fingers crossed, that the impossible could happen, you know, and Porta could somehow find a way to knock off Williamsville. Then if Moreau Forsyth could take care of Auburn, they could get a share of that conference championship. New Berlin will head to week 9. They will have a chance to get postseason eligible. The problem, though, they're playing 6-2, Athens. The Pretzels will host Athens next week. New Berlin has to have the win to get in to the postseason, of course, for Athens. We talked about the difference between 5-4, 6-3 in playoffs. Same deal for 6-3 and 7-2. So Athens would love to get into the postseason with their losses coming to Williamsville and Moreau Forsyth. They would be a handful in the playoffs, most likely 2A for Athens. In the Apollo Conference last night, Charleston beat Taylorville 28-10. Mount Zion and Effingham, a battle of unbeaten squads. It was Mount Zion beating Effingham 37-23, and Lincoln beat Mattoon 29-28. So in the Apollo Conference right now through 8 weeks, Mount Zion is your conference champ after beating Effingham last night. Taylorville, with that loss, they are 5-3 on the year. They will be at Civic Memorial in non-conference play next week, and Taylorville needs a win because they're sitting right now with just 27 playoff points. Greenville's not going to have to worry about no playoff points as they are flying high here as we get to week 8. The Comets are 7-1, picked up a win last night over Gillespie, and joining us on the phone right now is Comet head coach Todd Hutchison. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing good. And you went into a hornet's nest in a way last night because the Miners, they were backs against the wall, had the win, so you had to love the way your kids came out and responded.
Well, I do. I thought we played a really complete game in all three phases. And you're right. You know, Gillespie had everything to play for. We knew they were going to be tough. They looked really good on film, and they're well coached. So I thought our kids really came out and did a nice job up front, offensive line. We did a good job opening holes for Jack and Logan, and our passing game got going a little bit. I think six different guys caught the ball. So that was really nice. I thought our defense after the first drive really locked it down and did a lot better job, and we got a special team score and some good things on that side. So three phases working really well, and that's good for week 8. Gives us a chance to maybe tie for a conference championship next week.
Well, and that leads right into my next question is you're hosting Vandalia next week. Vandalia-Greenville's always, that's one of those just toss the records out. But next week, you've got a chance, as you just said, to maybe get a claim of the conference championship.
Yeah, really proud of our kids for staying locked in. You know, it's a battle every week in this conference. Every team's very well coached. Every team plays hard. That really, I think, has helped us throughout the last 12 years to be really playoff ready once the playoffs start. It's really toughened us up. So, you know, this week's going to be like the first 8 weeks where we got to just work hard in practice, work hard on what our opponents do, stay focused on ourselves, and take care of ourselves, and see if we can come out 1 point better than Vandalia on Friday.
As you see Vandalia here, you know, they've got a lot of explosive pieces back from a year ago. So is there one thing that you will try? Do you try to take the running game away? Do you try to take the big pass play away? What's kind of the strategy to try to contain the Vandals?
That's a great question. I think you go into every game trying to figure out what you might want to take away. So I haven't really dove into a lot of film yet. I haven't decided yet where we're going to attack that area. But I do know they've got a lot of pieces on offense. That defensively, they're very good. They're a good football team. So it's going to be a great high school football atmosphere. You know, it's our senior night. It's a chance for us to play another home game, only our fourth this year. So our kids are going to be excited about that. And we're just really looking forward to the opportunity of playing in that football game.
And there's so much to play for next week. Obviously, a chance for the conference. But if you can finish 8-1, obviously you get the conference. But at 8-1, you've got a real good chance to get that fifth home game of the year.
Absolutely. You know, that's another big part of it. Just like getting win 7 this week was a chance for us maybe to get a home playoff game. And then this coming up week, another chance to get maybe eighth win. And like you said, a home playoff game, just a better seed and things like that. So, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into this week, and again, we're just excited and looking forward to getting out on the practice field Monday and trying to get better.
The South Central's been a physical conference for a long, long time, but it at least seems to me this year, maybe there's more, I guess, you know, ground and pound. We saw a lot of the spread the last number of years, but man, it seems that this year there is a lot of hard-nosed, physical, downhill running coming right at you.
Well, I agree. I think from all teams in the conference, I think everybody has that downhill threat. You know, everybody has focused on being physical and different things like that. So it is a physical conference. I think, again, that toughens everybody up and sharpens everybody up for the playoffs, and it's been really good for us.
Hutch, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir, and we look forward to talking to you next Saturday night on the road to DeKalb.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, Todd Hutchinson, the head coach of the Greenville Comets, and that will be a heck of a ball game next Friday night in Greenville. The Vandals come a-calling at 8-0, and Greenville would love nothing more than to knock off the Vandals and get themselves a share of that South Central Conference Championship. Mitch, that's a straight rivalry game. You know, Vandalia, Greenville, there's not much love lost between those two towns. They like to get after each other in every sense of it, and that's a great Week 9 matchup. You know, the schedule comes out. You look up and down the schedule, and you know, I always look straight to Week 9 to see, okay, what are the Week 9 matchups? And when you saw Vandalia at Greenville in the last week of the regular season, you thought that game is probably going to have some big time implications, and that's exactly where we are at right now with Vandalia at Greenville coming up in Week 9. Painter sits at 7-1 as well. They will be hosting Hillsboro next week. So there's a potential for that three-way tie atop the South Central Conference. Payne had that loss last night at Vandalia, so they will be rooting hard for Greenville coming up next week when they take on the Vandals. Mentioned the Shells of Roxanne at 4-4. They need a win to get in, and then Carlinville, obviously, at 5-3, needs their sixth win to guarantee playoff football coming up in Week 10. As we look at the Prairie State Conference, you know, Nokomis last night, what a thrilling victory. Got them to number 6 on the year. They did it in dramatic fashion, a 50-yard touchdown to get within 1 with about 37 seconds to go. Then they go for 2 and the win and knock off Woodiver 15-14. So that puts Nokomis in the playoffs for the first time since 2014. Now, Marquette sits atop the Prairie State Conference right now. Marquette lost last night in non-conference play as they fell to Quincy Notre Dame last night. So they are 4-0 in the Prairie State, 0-4 out of conference. It was 48-14 last night, QND over Alton Marquette. So even though Marquette is 4-4, they right now are atop the Prairie State Conference, and they will host South Fork next week. Nokomis, they lost to Marquette back in Week 3, 58-25. That's their only conference loss of the year. But for Nokomis, hey, they got win number 6, and they are headed to the postseason. For Wood River, their playoff hopes took a big hit last night with that loss. They're 4-4, but they have just 28 playoff points now. So the Oilers are in a tough, tough spot here as they enter week 9. They obviously need to win and then just hope that the playoff point total comes down low enough for them to get in at 5-4. And looking at some other scores from around the area in the WIVC last night, North versus South, Beardstown beat Greenfield Northwestern 43-14. Camp Point Central over Calhoun 48-14. Carrollton top Triopia 30-6. Minden Unity over North Green 41-26. Brown County beat West Central 24-22. And Jacksonville Rout over Pleasant Hill 21-14. And joining us on the phone right now is a very happy man, Paul Watson, the head coach of Nokomis. And, Coach, congratulations on that win last night. You might have not even needed the wheels and the bus. It might have just floated home.
Good morning. Yeah, it was a nail-biter, but, you know, we're really happy to get the W and be going into playoffs.
Talk about the decision on the two-point try. That is gutsy.
Well, it really wasn't a question. You know, we're on the road and their homecoming, you know, their senior night, everything is there for them. And, you know, it was one of those things that they were getting a lot of pressure in. And I thought, you know, we could get behind them and make it work. And luckily we did.
Is that something you knew when you got the ball before you scored the touchdown? If we score, we're going for two in the win?
Yeah, you know, that's, I was thinking, you know, we weren't going to try to kick it through there, that we were going to try to, you know, get the win and get out of there.
So, you know, a lot of the focus goes on the end of the game because that's as good as an inning as you will see in high school football. But let's talk about your defense in the first half, especially keeping you guys in that ball game.
Yeah, you know, they stepped up and we've improved throughout the year, which is what, you know, is what you want. You know, we were attacking the ball and, you know, we talk about game tackling and swarming and, you know, there we do a pursuit drill every day at practice and, you know, that defense stepped up and, you know, the Newberry kid from East Alton, you know, you got to give him credit. He's a heck of a runner, especially just being a junior. He's a load. You know, it took a couple of us to get him down and it's, you know, you couldn't hit him high, that's for sure. But, yeah, we were swarming the ball and getting there and, you know, after that first run on the very first play where he takes it and punches it in, we're like, oh, crap. But we kind of buckled down after that.
What was the mood in the locker room at half? You know, you don't have a point at halftime. You had three interceptions, but you're only down two scores. So kind of what was the mentality and the message at the half?
Well, and, you know, which is really frustrating, you know, we get the ball there in the first half, drive it down, it's just inside the 10, and can't punch it through there and throw that pick in the end zone. And, you know, that's kind of what we're telling you. We're just moving the ball. The defense has stepped up and was stopping them there for the most part. And, you know, we talked about, earlier in the year being down against Madison at half 18-14 and coming back there. And, you know, we've been that second half team all year. And, you know, they're, you know, we looked at a few things there on huddle and got a few things corrected and, you know, stepped it up.
And, boy, when you know that you have, like you said, a second-half team from a coaching perspective, that really gives you, I would imagine, a sense of calm to know our best football is ahead of us here in the second half.
Well, yeah, you know, and I credit, you know, all the coaches on the staff with, you know, keeping the kids focused there and you know, knowing that, hey, just because we're down two scores, the game's not over. We got four quarters, you know, two more quarters to play, and you know, they buy into it, and that's the thing with, you know, this time of year is, you know, we're gelling together, not only as a team, you know, but also the coaching staff with the players, and, you know, there's a lot of trust on our team, and they knew that, you know, hey, we said, you know, we're going to take that opening kickoff back, we're going to score, we're going to stop them, we're going to fall back and get another one. So that's what, you know, somewhat what we did.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Fantastic stuff. And you're back in the playoffs now for the first time since 2014, and we've talked throughout the year, you guys – needed to get to six. You knew you needed to get to six. You didn't want to mess around 5-4, be waiting to see how the playoff points were going to work themselves out. And that was basically a playoff game last night because Wood River needed that win in a big way as well. So knowing that you're going to the playoffs now, boy, a game like that last night is so beneficial.
Oh, it is. And you know, we were telling them all week, you know, we got to keep our focus and, you know, not really worry about what they're doing. We got to worry about, you know, executing our game plan and, you know, going in there, you know, we told them, you know, it's going to be kind of a playoff atmosphere. It's their homecoming. It's their senior night. They need a win for a playoffs. We've got to get that number six for a playoff. And, you know, we told them it'd be, you know, how wonderful it'd be that we get it this week instead of going into week nine, you know, knowing that we have to get that to make the playoffs. So, you know, we kept our focus and did what we needed to do.
And, yeah, you just alluded to it. You guys aren't done yet. Yeah, you got win number six. But if you can get win number seven, boy, does that change the seed. And who knows, maybe you could host the game at 7-2.
Yeah, and that's what, yeah, we're kind of, you know, you never know. You know, we kind of let those, you know, playoff bracket gurus do their thing there. But, you know, as a coaching staff, you know, we kind of look at that here or there, you know. And it does, you know, at 7-2, you know, there's that chance of having that home playoff game. And you know, that would be really awesome. So we're kind of hoping, you know, we got Colfax Ridgeview there next week that, you know, that's a winnable game that I hope that, you know, we'll come to play. And hopefully we get that W at 7-2. And hopefully we're back in Nokomis on week 10.
That would be wonderful. And did you guys come out healthy last night?
We got a few bumps and bruises there. We got a shoulder issue with Brummett, waiting to hear back on that. And, you know, we got a few, like I said, just normal wear and tears from a hard hitting game like that. You know, two teams that are running the ball and playing physical on both sides. And so, but nothing too major.
Now, basketball season's going to have to get pushed back a little bit here.
Oh, Coach Kimbrough sent me a text this morning and, you know, he was saying, you know, way to go, way to get the win, you know, and heck with a tie, you know, you take the game into your own, you know, hands and, you know, you get the win, you go for it on the road. And, you know, and I told him, I said, well, Coach, I learned from one of the, you know, the winningest coach in NHS history. So,
right.
You know, you taught me well.
And, you know, I love the decision because that's exactly right. You go for the win on the road. And so often, you know, from fans and sometimes media perspective, we like to play the result. Oh, it worked, so it's a good decision. Oh, it didn't work, the coach is stupid. But the reality is that whether it worked or not, that was the call to make.
It was. You know, you're on the road, like I said, in their homecoming, their senior night. You know, it's kind of a hostile environment, you know, and you know, you're there, and we had the momentum going right then and there, and, you know, luckily we capitalized on that. You know, watching the film, we actually had two other guys that were quite a bit open, you know, more open there in the back of the end zone than Lions was. So, but it was, you know, looking back, it was a good decision. Now, did you drop it? Maybe it wasn't a good decision.
Paul Watson, thanks so much for a few minutes of your time, sir. Hey, we'll be talking to you next week on the Road to the Cow.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Paul Watson, the head coach of Nokomis, and what a thrilling, thrilling finish last night. And as I said, it's easy to play the result. You know, oh, if it worked, it was great. But you don't want to mess with overtime. And an extra point in high school is no guarantee. I remember years ago, it was at the very beginning of the Greenville run. I think Duffy was still the coach of the Comets at the time. They lost, I think it was in double overtime at Columbia on a blocked extra point. You know, they scored the touchdown. The crowd, the road crowd for the Comets is going wild. And then the extra point gets blocked and the season's over. Just like that. Snap your fingers and it's done. So the extra point in high school is far from a guarantee. You could make the case that you have a better odds of converting a 2-point conversion in that type of spot than maybe kicking the extra point. And it, like I said, it's happened before where you get that touchdown and then the tying extra point goes awry. And you talk about what would have been a gut-wrenching way to lose a ball game. That would have been it for Nokomis. But hats off to Paul Watson for the call. Hats off to the Nokomis kids for the execution of the play, the 2-point conversion to win at Wood River last night. And again, next week, Colfax Ridgeview, you get to 7-2. And even if they wind up on the road at 7-2, you know, the whole draw is different. And we've seen, it seems, as David said earlier, we've seen fewer and fewer 5-4 teams seemingly the last number of years. So it'll be very interesting to see how it all shakes out. And we'll know it all coming up next Saturday night. We'll have the Road to the Calabar Football Playoff Preview Show, 8 o'clock next Saturday night right here on WSMI FM 106. We know Nokomis is in. Carlinville's going to be in. And then North Mac with the win next week will get in as well. So it's going to be a fun stretch run here across the WSMI listening area to see who can punch their ticket into week 10 of the high school football season. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with more following these messages on WSMI.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
Thank you, David Jenkins, and we have on the phone with us right now North Mac head coach Patrick Bowman. Thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning, Coach.
Hey, no problem.
Well, we always say it's the fastest 9 weeks in sports, and here we are, 8 weeks in the books, and you guys are in a win and you're in scenario.
Yes, we are. We, like you said, it has been fast. It's hard to believe this is week 9, and we're in a position where we're in a must-win situation, so we wouldn't want it any other way.
Last night, you went to Athens, and that's a good ball club and a tough place to play, and you went toe-to-toe with them.
We did. Played really good defense. A couple times we did punch it in the red zone when we needed to, a couple turnovers. But we played okay. It was 7-0 at halftime. We got a couple things we'll fix on offense, and we should be okay.
And, when you get into a game like that, obviously there's positives you can take out, good learning experience, all those things. But you can find out about your club when you go into an environment like that and hang with a team like Athens for four quarters.
You can. Athens, like you said, they're a really good ball club. And, we knew it was going to be a battle every play, and they're going to come out and hit you. You either answer it or you don't. And our kids stepped up. They played okay. And the good thing is we can still get better.
And obviously next week, the big storyline, of course, is you win, you're in the playoffs. But you're also going to be on the awesome new turf field. So I guess from a player perspective, are you worried that they're going to be more caught up in the field than the opponent?
It's going to be an exciting week. They know it's coming. The field actually opens Thursday, so that'll be our first time to get on it. It'll be Thursday, and we play a game on it Friday. So hopefully we can get all that excitement out on Thursday night and then focus on game time Friday.
It is. I mean, we've been talking about this new field for so long, but at the end of the day, the new field came about because of the success of the football program itself, and now you have a chance to get back into the postseason. And when you start the year, all you want is a chance in week 9 to be playing for something.
Exactly, yep. And we want that, what we call that second season of week 10, and that's been our goal the whole year, like every team. And hopefully this week we can, like I say, take care of what we have to do to get there.
A gauntlet Sangamo Conference, once again, that's a year-in, year-out thing. As you kind of look back here through 8 weeks, where has been the biggest improvement from your club from the start of the year?
Improvement, we've had a lot of guys that had to step up due to the injury, and they've done a good job of that. Some guys that even had to change some positions around due to injury, and they've done a good job. They've learned the new positions, and they've done a pretty good job at it.
How tough is that to learn a new position on the fly in the middle of a season?
It's tough. You never can prepare for enough injuries. You've got your couple guys deep at a certain position, and then two of them get hurt, and you've got to find a third one. Mm-hmm. So that's always an adjustment, but that's the fun part about this game.
As you think about coming up with Riverton, yeah, they're 0-8, but that records don't matter. Every team at this time of the year is dangerous, especially from the Riverton perspective, thinking we can wreck North Mac's season.
Yeah, exactly, and we know they'll be ready to play, so we've got to make sure we are, and we take them one game at a time, no matter who it is, and try not to focus on records, because like you said, anybody can play in this conference, and you better be ready every week.
That's right. Patrick Bowman, the head coach of North Mac, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir, and we hope to be talking next week on the Road to the Cow.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Thanks, guys.
All right, Patrick Bowman of North Mac, and that's going to be it's going to be a fun week. In North Mac, I believe they're playing the freshman game on Thursday, I guess it would be, to get the kinks worked out, because they got a brand new video and scoreboard there as well. So they'll have a game on the field under their belts before the varsity takes the field on Friday night. But David, that's going to be, it's going to be a fun week. It's going to be a fun night for North Mac, finally getting on to that turf field there in Verdon. It's been a long time coming. Obviously, they had hoped to be there the whole year, but now they are there, week nine, and wouldn't you know, it's a win and you're in scenario to boot.
Yeah, they would have liked to get that win.
You're right.
Excuse
over there?
Me while, yeah, excuse me while I adjust my mic off the air.
Oh, there you go, yes.
They would have liked to get that win against Auburn, because that was one that I know, not only because it was a rivalry game, but because by now that would have put them in the playoffs, because that would have been their sixth win. But, of course, there's still a winnable game coming up. Of course, as you said, though, you can't underestimate a Riverton, because as soon as you start looking ahead, you find yourself down and in trouble.
That's exactly right. You can get bit in a hurry.
Yeah.
So you got Williamsville at 8-0 in the Sangamo. Moreau Forsyth is 7-1. Auburn sits at 6-2. And then North Mac and New Berlin both 4-4. In the South Central Conference, you got Vandalia at 8-0. Greenville at 7-1, along with Pena 7-1. And then you have Carlinville at 5-3. Roxana at 4-4. In the Prairie State Conference, Nokomis is 6-2. Good chance to pick up win number 7 next week. Marquette is 4-0. In league play, they will be hosting South Fork coming up next week. So Marquette could wind up 5-4, but be conference champions based on their undefeated conference slate. Their one conference loss for Nokomis did come at the hands of Marquette. Woodiver's in a tough spot. They only have 28 playoff points. So even if they win next week, they're probably going to be left on the outside looking in. WIVC North, Beardstown, your conference champions there. They will host 7-1 Carrollton next week. It's North versus South again in the WIVC. Camp Point Central 7-1. Brown County is 5-3. They host 6-2 Greenfield Northwestern next week. And Brown County has 32 points entering games last night. Minden Unity at 4-4 had 32 playoff points entering last night as well. In the WIVC South, Greenfield Northwestern, your conference champs. Carrollton is 7-1. North Green is 4-4. They had just 28 playoff points entering last night. So they will need to beat Route next week, and then hope they can get in on points.
Here's something about Nokomis, by the way, and maybe you touched on this. I don't know. I was on the phone while you were talking with Paul Watson, but it's not likely, but there is a distinct chance. Not only is Nokomis in the playoffs, but they could host a playoff game in the first round.
We touched on it briefly. There, yeah, I mean, if they
it's happened within the last couple of years. The 7-2 team has been a home team.
Yeah, there's a possibility.
Yeah,
a chance it could happen. Not likely, but a possibility.
How about that, though? I mean, go into the season, you just want to get to that sixth win and get to the playoffs, and who knows, you could find yourself hosting a first-round playoff game.
Well, you know, that's how it always works. You start the year, okay, even if you're 5-0 through 5 weeks, all right, we're playoff eligible. Then you get to six, it's all right, we're in. Then you get greedy.
Yeah.
Then you get greedy. All right, we're looking for 7, we're looking for 8, maybe looking 4-9. But yeah, each win you get obviously just enhances and helps your playoff draw. And who knows with the draws? I mean, you know, there's people that devote a lot of time and energy to try.
I did
and
it a couple
it
of years. It's
you
exhausting.
And what did I tell you when you were doing that?
It's exhausting. I don't remember.
I said you're crazy.
Yeah.
I said, why are you wasting your time? Because there's too many variables.
Well, I got it. Last year I got it pretty accurately predicted, but man, it took a lot of time, and it was not worth it.
No.
Wasted a Saturday when I could have just waited.
Exactly. That's always been my philosophy. I'm not going to waste any time and energy on it because we'll know.
Right. Yeah. Well, Nokomis gets the distinction of playing the same day they find out, because they play on Saturday.
Right. Yeah, I've always wished that this week now that all the games would be on Friday.
Yeah.
But I mean,
see, that's what makes the prognosticating even worse.
Right.
You got to wait for Saturday games.
Exactly
in the Chicago Public League, which teams are in, which teams are not.
Hey, thanks to all of our area coaches for joining us this morning here on Sports Saturday. Just 1 week of the high school football season remains. It has flown by. Once again, Road to the Cal next Saturday night, 8 o'clock, our playoff preview show right here on FM 106. Good luck to Alex Eichhoff and Alex White competing in the 1A State Golf Tournament today, as they are up at Prairie Vista in Bloomington. And, of course, 1A Boys Soccer Regional Championship games continue today. Good luck to North Mac as they take on SHG at Terry Toad Field in Raymond. For David Jenkins, I'm Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on WQSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois.